This episode is brought to you by the Black Farmers Hub and by Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. Both serve as a platform for Black farmers and food and beverage makers. LA Quiet Storm just blew it up, man. Another artist on stage who just knocked it out the park. Quiet Storm, how are you, my brother?
Oh, man, I'm blessed, man. So great to be here with L.A. the Unknown Preacher, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you. What do you think about K-Town, man?
Oh, man, yeah, man. It's definitely, they hungry for the word, man. They hungry for God out here. And so we just came to feed it to them, man.
I love it, man.
Some great work going on out here.
We're going to keep marching for Jesus, man. But I just wanted to salute you, brother. I appreciate everything you're doing.
Oh, man, I'm blessed, man. It's an honor and a privilege to come here and be on the podcast and just to be a part of this event. I don't take it lightly, man. Anytime I stand up and I can represent God and represent the kingdom, I'm always humble, man. So peace and blessings to you in the ministry.
Thank you, brother. God bless you, man. That was Quiet Storm, y'all. Beautiful people, KP Crayon just had my stomach hurting, man. She is hilarious. KP, welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA, and thank you for the show tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed myself.
What do you think about the guests, the kids?
Oh, this is an awesome program. I am really impressed, and the kids were really engaged, so this is a good thing you got going here.
Thank you, thank you. Now, you're sounding a little different now. What you... Was that the business voice?
Yes, I am. Yes, sir. I never know who may be listening.
That's right. Yep, she was on stage talking about being single, y'all. So, yeah, she's trying to get it on. But, no, you were great, man. I wait to work with you again. I'm looking forward to it. I had an idea. She and I talked about it. We'll see how it goes, man. But thank you again, KP.
Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to working with you.
Awesome. God bless.
Good morning, beautiful people. Glory to God. This is a beautiful day, and we're taking it right out of the pan, meaning season two is starting off hot, y'all. Today, we're going to talk about the Stellar Awards, and our special guest is one of the hottest Christian hip-hop artists in the genre, Cody Murphy. Let's do it.
It's the unknown, unknown. It's the unknown, unknown preacher. It's the unknown preacher. Unknown preacher. Unknown preacher.
Good morning, beautiful people. To God be the glory, and welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your host, the Unknown Preacher, Uncle Zoe, Mr. Lonzo, just nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen. And a big shout out to Kinston, K-Town, Christian hip hop, holy hip hop, doing its thing, man. It was fire. Natasha was doing her thing with the vocals. KP Crayon, she had everyone bent over laughing. Man, the rappers like Quiet Storm, Miles B, Reggie Love, all of those guys, man, were doing their things with on the lyrics. And I have nothing but mad love for Kinston. We got good feedback from our team, And I tell you what, we are definitely going back to K-Town because the mission continues, and the mission is winning souls for Christ. No ifs, ands, and buts. And so Friday was a good night. Our MC, Rob Bright. I also want to give a shout out to the residents of K-Town, people like Donna Hardy, people like Kathy Reese and Pastor Shepherd, the people who love the kids, who's been loving on them, guiding them from day one. We couldn't have done it without their help. They are the faithful few, and I want to give them their flowers now. And guess what, y'all? This is the first episode of season two, and I promise you all last year we're going to start it with a bang. And in saying that, guess what? We're also on a Radio One station. That's a big deal. God has been so good to us and so good to the ministry. So thanks to all of our supporters. I always shout out to three, because these three people, they call me every week after an episode or text, and they always give me honest feedback. And that's Whitney, Teresa, and Ronald. Much love. And Ruby, thanks for coordinating and doing what you do. And if you didn't know, this is about kingdom business all day long. And although our podcast has brought authors and ministers and survivors, gospel artists, all have been a part of this. I told you on day one that holy hip hop, Christian hip hop, gospel rap, gospel hip hop, people who rap about the Lord. And I'm one of them. And I'm saying this with all sincerity. We are about kingdom business, and it is time to push this to the forefront, because it's about winning our kids. We're fighting for them. And also, I wanted to say that the Stella Gospel Music Awards will take place on July 20th in Las Vegas and New Orleans. So we long for the day that Christian hip hop will really get that huge spotlight on the stage. Can I get an amen? And so now, today's guest, y'all. Wow. And this is my opinion, and I say it with all confidence. He is one of the hottest Christian hip hop artists in the genre. He has high energy, and he channels it to serve the Lord straight from the Mississippi Delta. Please welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA, Cody Murphy. Cody, how you doing, my brother?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good, man. I'm just excited to even be here. I'm glad to be a part of this. I appreciate you for inviting me, sir.
No, thank you, man. Your music is definitely anointed. Your lyrics are piercing. You're full of energy, man. So I salute you. So thanks again.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. So, Mississippi, man, tell us about Mississippi. On the positive side, what is Mississippi famous for?
Mississippi is known for its music. We're the start of the Delta blues. The blues came from Mississippi, right there at the crossroads in Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Wow. Wow. That's what's up. I love hearing that. And I know you and I talked about this, the Mississippi Delta. Not so positive, but there's a method to the story behind this. And I know that you know, but the Mississippi Delta was ranked one of the poorest areas in the U.S. last year. Can you tell us about your town and your upbringing?
Oh yeah, man. I grew up in a small town called Drew, Mississippi. And, I just watched it from a young age, go from a small little town with a grocery store and everything that you would need to, mm-hmm. as I got older, people left, businesses closed down, there were no jobs, and the education system was terrible. And it's just, it is, that's the story of the entire Delta, really, other than, you know, a few small towns here and there. But it's just, it wasn't a very great place to be, but we made the best out of it, even though there wasn't a lot of opportunities there.
Wow. And so when you said no jobs, we all know that equals no or very few opportunities. So what path do you decide to take when you're in that predicament, or even like you or your family and friends, what path, what opportunities were there for you?
I mean, at a young age, there was really nothing for us. What you would think of, that the things that go along with poverty, you know, drugs and crime and things like that, you know, those things, they started off with me and my friends at a young age. And really, it just seemed like that was the norm of the area. It wasn't like we were, like, it just didn't seem like a big deal to us at the time, because it seemed like that's what everybody was doing.
Yes, yes. And that made sense. Now, were you introduced to the church, faith, religion at an early age, or is this something that you transitioned into as you got older?
Oh, man, I'm from Mississippi. We're right in the middle of the Bible Belt. Everybody believes here. But, you know, I mean, I didn't go to church growing up, and, you know, neither did really any of my friends or anything. The South, or at least the area I'm from, we have the idea that everyone believes in God and they believe in Jesus, and but no one really walks out their faith. No one really lives it. You don't see it in their life. It's all very surface level, because that's what we do here. But, yeah, you know, I definitely did not grow up in church.
Gotcha. So what changed for you? Because when I hear those lyrics, I hear the power behind it. I hear the sincerity, and there's no question where your faith is. And so what changed?
Well, I mean, I started experimenting with drugs and alcohol at the age of like 12, 13, you know, and I was addicted to prescription pain pills at the age of 14 and basically all the way through high school. But the summer between my 11th and 12th grade year, I had a buddy whose mom was actually a youth pastor, and they were going to like a summer camp, for like a church summer camp in Daytona Beach, Florida. And it was supposed to be a big deal. It was supposed to be a lot of people there. I think there ended up being like, I don't know, like 10, 15,000 people there. It was huge. Yeah. But, you know, I thought about it and I was like, man, I don't really want to go do this church thing, you know? But I knew there'd be a bunch of girls there. So of course,
yeah,
accepted, and I packed up the things that I needed to go with me so I wouldn't have to, you know, go without while I was there. But man, that trip really, and I went with the idea of, I'm going to go there, I'm going to do the church thing for the week that we're there, and I'm going to meet some girls. And then when it's time to go home, I'm going to let them go, and I'm going to dip out, and I'm going to stay. Yeah. And then I'll stay a week or two, and then I'll hitchhike back home.
Wow.
You know, I took my pills with me, everything that I needed to make it through. And within a few days, I had already run out, and I was going through withdrawals and just feeling terrible, feeling sick. And the pastor there stood up and spoke about, you know, you're doing the very things you don't want to do. You're causing damage to yourself. You're living a way you don't want to live. You feel all alone. And I felt like he was speaking directly to me.
Yeah.
And he asked, you know, if there was anyone there that wanted to give their life to Christ. And I felt in that moment that he wasn't talking to anyone else. All the other thousands of kids there, he was talking specifically to me. And at that moment, that's when I gave my life to Christ. But I mean, there was, you know, there were still ups and downs from there, because I didn't really have a good understanding, but that was the start of it.
Wow, that's a powerful story. Does that pastor know how much of a vessel he was? Have you spoken to him?
I guarantee he doesn't. Have you ever heard of Louis Gigolo?
Yes, yes.
That's who the pastor was.
Wow, wow. So
I doubt he even knows who I am.
I love hearing, and so that just, it confirms how often we are vessels, and we're playing a role, or we're being angels for God, and we're touching lives. And sometimes we know it and sometimes we don't. And just like now with your music, you probably couldn't even wrap your arms around how many minds you have molded and how many people walk towards God because they heard your lyrics. So, man, God, to God be the glory. I love that story. And I love your sincerity about, you know, when we're babes in Christ, you know, we're at our most vulnerable state. And yeah. Satan's really coming after us. And without the right teaching, the right person, you know, kind of guiding us on what it means to be a Christian, we're going to slip and fall. But
definitely God did. I mean, it was within just a few months, I'm going to say probably 2 or 3 months, I was back into doing the same things that I was doing before I left. I had that conviction, you know, I knew that I wasn't supposed to be doing those things, but I mean, I was still doing them. It was because I was relying on my own strength. When I got back, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm a Christian now. I'm saved. I'm going to do better. I'm going to not do these things. And I was focusing on what I could do, and I wasn't giving it to God.
Wow. Speak it. What finally got you on the wagon for good and say, hey, I know this is it?
I mean, I would say what kind of sealed it. There were still some times after, you know, but me and my wife, we started dating my senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. And then she got pregnant and we got married. But seeing my son, you know, and just realizing that I didn't want him to go through the things that I went through, that I didn't want him to live the way I was living and feel the way I was feeling. And I don't blame it on my parents because I made the choices that I made, but I know if I can help him steer away from those mistakes where he doesn't have to learn from his own mistakes, he can learn from mine because I can show him. So that was like a big thing for me was just, I mean, I've got 3 kids now, we're still married, and just, I want to be the reflection of Christ for them.
Yes. Man, I love that. And we share a similar story in the fact that my oldest son, the moment he was born and I was in the delivery room, I said, okay, no more profanity. Because I used to curse like a sailor. And I was like, okay, no profanity. I'm going to be a role model. My son is going to look at me and say, this is how a man should behave. And it's just amazing what a love for your child can do to you, and everything else, nothing else mattered after that. So I definitely can relate.
And just when you feel that way, you know, it's a powerful feeling that can change you. Yes. But then you think back, you know, that's how Christ sees us, that's how God sees us, that we are his children. He feels the same exact way. And that's just like a sobering thought to have that you do have God that loves you like that. So it was so, and really even more. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't even fathom the love that God has for me when I didn't even feel like I deserved to be loved, but I knew he did because I knew he loved me.
Yes.
Even more than I could love my own son, which I love with all my heart.
It's powerful, man. This thing called Christian hip hop. Do you feel that is gaining ground in, or do you feel more people are accepting this genre of music?
I feel like the correct people are accepting this genre of music.
Gotcha.
I feel like it is gaining some traction, not necessarily in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But with outreaches and street ministry and,
yeah,
I mean, every genre of music that has Christ centered, you know, it's going to reach a certain group of people. And the people that I relate to, they prefer that style of music. And the message that I put into my songs through my testimony, they're going to reach a certain type of people. And it's not the people that are necessarily in church that need the message. Because if they're there, they're probably saved, you know, and I'm trying to reach the ones that aren't there, that are where I was, you know, 12, whatever, 13, 14 years ago, however long ago it was, you know.
Yeah. So tell me, so how did you get introduced to Christian hip hop?
Actually, my wife, like, she grew up going to church
mm-hmm.
and she's always been in church. Well, when I was in Maybe my senior year still. I don't know. She bought me a Lecrae CD. which is crazy because honestly, growing up, I didn't even like rap music.
Really?
I did not. I liked like heavy metal, like rock music, music. I just wasn't a big fan of rap. Mm-hmm. And she bought me that CD because she heard me listening to, I think it was a Lil Wayne song or something. Because mm-hmm. I had started listening to some rap, you know. And she bought me that CD and was like, you don't need to listen to that. You need to listen to this instead. I was like, hey, I'll give it a shot. And I put it in my truck and I listened to it. And I was like, you know, it's okay. It ain't the best. Yeah. But the more I listened to it, the more like, man, his message in that just spoke to me a lot. And it stuck from then on. I loved rap music and Christian rap.
Man, I love that. That's amazing because, you know, those who rap understand the art and know how much work it takes mm-hmm. to develop the skills that I hear from you. So definitely anointed, brother, because I would have never known just until you told me. That's amazing. Yeah. Our young people. So what is the solution in your mind? I mean, as far as bringing them back into the church, you know, study after study say that less and less young people are attending church. I know so many pastors, I go to their churches and they look much different than they did pre-COVID. And before COVID, they were already on that trajectory. And then COVID just sped up the process. So what do you say? How do we get our young people in the church again?
Man, we got to meet them where they're at. We got to give them an alternative to what they're used to and what they're doing in the world. You know, like, just music in general, like they're listening to these secular songs that are talking about all these things, and whether they think about it or not, or whether they do it or not, it's getting into their mind and they think on these things. It gets in their subconscious and they eventually want to act these things out. And you just got to find something that's close to what they want, but it's got enough positive in it that it steers them in a better direction. So we just got to meet them where they are. It's not necessarily about just the focus. Like me and my wife, she does music with me. Mm-hmm. We're youth leaders at our church, and we've probably got, you know, sometimes anywhere from 60 to 80 kids.
Wow.
In our youth group at you know, any given night that we have it. So we try to be relatable, because it's hard to reach someone who, if they can't relate to you, you can't really reach them as well. You've got to meet them where they are instead of just saying, hey, you're doing all these bad things. You got to sit down and talk with them and have a relationship with them. And just show them that there is a better way, and just reassure them that there is a God that loves them regardless of what they're going through and the choices that they're making. He still loves you and he wants the best for you. So you just got to learn how to relate to them, mm-hmm. and then you work them back in and just be a positive influence and really just be there for them. Because a lot of these kids, you know, that we speak to, they have a lot of friends, but when you actually get them to open up and talk, they tell you they feel alone.
Yeah.
So you got to be there for them. And that's like the hardest thing to do, especially when you're so busy living your life or whatever you're doing. It's hard to keep that in your focus of just being there for them. But that's the number one thing.
It really is. I couldn't agree with you more. And I've shared this with Jackie J recently. I was doing secular rap and stopped altogether when I really dedicate my life to Christ. And I'm listening to Jackie in church as a teenager saying, no one's speaking our language. We don't understand. Yeah. And that's what inspired me to flip and then go into Christian hip hop. And you're right. You're meeting them. That's one medium that really connects us with our young people. And so, to God be the glory, everything that you're doing. So we have a network here where I am. It's a group of us. I'm pretty close with a number of Christian rappers. I imagine in your area, you all have a pretty tight network.
Not really in my area. I have to go, you know, a little distance to find other Christian rappers that, you know, are willing to work. But, it's just, I mean, my area is really not a lot of us. There's some Mississippi, but they're, you know, down like the coast. So they're, you know, 4 or 5 hours away, and they're really solid guys and girls. Mm-hmm. And there's, I work with a good bit of artists in the Memphis, Tennessee area.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's not too far from where I'm at. Yeah. And there's a solid group up there. So in my general area, there's not a lot of us. There's a few here and there. And then the ones that were here with me, you know, they kind of just, they didn't see fruit from it and they laid it down. You know, they got discouraged even though they were good.
Yeah. We're going to keep pushing and do something about it. I am running out of time, but what's really important, because your music, I want to know, I want you to share with your, to our listeners, how they can get your music. Real About It, by the way, is my favorite song in your library. But yeah, can you tell our listeners how they can get your music?
Oh man, you can find me on any streaming platform that there is music. It doesn't matter if Spotify, Apple Music, Google, Pandora, SoundCloud, YouTube, it does not matter. I'm everywhere. All you've got to do is search my name, Cody Murphy Music. I mean, that's just Cody Murphy. You search me up, you're gonna see me.
Awesome. To God be the glory, brother Cody. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. That's our show for today. And I just ask you all to please like us, follow us, and tell a friend. Tell them about the Unknown Preacher LA. And remember, no matter how high we get, we'll never stop looking up to God. God bless. It's the unknown. All right.